This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leaning toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back up. And when I fall down,
this is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome, everyone. I am Michelle Barber, and sitting in a cool studio, you are now listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the straight allied supporters to stand up for our GLBTI communities, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue, or introduce a new way of thinking, but most importantly, facilitate change towards greater acceptance of our rainbow families in all its shapes and sizes. So on this sweltering hot day, sit back, put your feet up, and have a listen tonight. And we're going to be having someone come in that is part of the Midsummer Festival. So Midsummer has started. Carnival Day was this Sunday. Fabulous, perfect weather. Hopefully you slip, slop, slapped. There's an amazing array of shows that are on as part of Midsummer. And if you flick through your program, you would see lots and lots of them. One of the things that I like about Midsummer is its massive variety of shows. And I like to try and support local playwrights and local people. And I'm going to be doing that by inviting... In fact, I have already invited Darren Visor, who is the writer and performer of No One Likes Me. So welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And we're going to talk about your show. We're going to talk a little bit about you. We're going to spruik your show and hopefully give you some sellout performances. So,
wonderful.
Yes, that's what we want. So can you tell me a little bit about No One Likes Me and why that particular title?
Sure. Well, look, No One Likes Me was self-devised. I wrote it and I worked with a collaborative writer, Susie Hargrave, and Amy Malsom as well to get my story across. And basically, it's a snapshot autobiographical solo work of moments through my life which have had an impact on me, which have created some type of change in me, as well as with my family, my father, people around me. And it's presented in a theatre form, text and movement and dance at La Mama.
What do you mean by text and movement?
Well, my background is I'm a dancer trained, classical, ballet and contemporary, and I'm also a trained method actor. So I fuse and blend when I make work with text and movement to support the message I'm trying to get across. So I don't always talk. You'll see movement as well, okay. And dance.
We don't want to tell everyone about it.
Okay.
But we're going to tease them. Is that what
sure.
we're going to do for the next 50 minutes or so? Yeah. So what I'd like to also let people know is that we're going to run a competition. We've got two tickets to give away, and I think we've got for the 29th, Wednesday the 29th of January. And what we're going to do, now you guys, it's not going to be easy. easy. What you got to do is go to the Midsummer website or to the program for Midsummer. Tell us what colour singlet Darren is wearing in this gorgeous photo shoot. So I know that's a really hard competition. So what I'd like to do is get to know you a little bit more and tell us a little bit more about your background. I know you used to do some work here on Joy Daytime as well. Tell us a bit about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, correct. Look, I came into Joy a number of years ago and I was a daytime presenter when I started on Joy. I had to give my time slot up because I went back to university to study at the VCA, my postgrad in performance making dance, and I went back to do my master's, which has just been completed. My background is I've been dancing as a professional dancer, but now I don't dance as a professional dancer. I make my own work or devise work as my passion. And in that work, I kind of flesh out stories or themes which I think are current or important to tell. They usually are from a personal nature. Or if I have dancers or actors in there, I'll often get them to bring in something personal. And it could be from their family or something they've experienced with them, their mum and dad, or something that's given them a change.
Is it emotional, that sort of?
Yeah, there's.
Is that performance art? Is that what sort of?
Well,
is it everything?
What genre is it? Look, I tend to say probably I'm a theatre maker, and that kind of blends, you know, dance and text and acting and music in one forum. So I don't say it's dance or it's just acting, but it's a blend.
So do they bring, do they have, do they contribute to what that end product is?
Absolutely.
As well? 'Cause I'm really collaborative.
Absolutely. Yeah. Always collaborative. That's how I work mostly. So even with the directors I've been working with and the writers I've been working with, we kind of collaborate ideas and bounce ideas back and forth. We try things out. Does this story or moment fit? How would it fit with the text? How would it fit with the movement and the music? Or the sound score or scape we use. So it is a blend and fusion of a collaboration.
So that's, I take it it's probably pretty challenging.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah. It needs to be challenging because you need to be stimulated and excited and be
fresh
and be interested in what you're presenting and saying, because if you have an interest in what the story I'm presenting and I'm finding the joy in those moments as well as the intimacy and sadness or whatever I'm portraying, the audience will be interested in what you're doing because you have an invested interest in that moment with what you're trying to do.
So you sound very confident and very comfortable in what you're doing. So what I find really interesting is that you've got a show called No One Likes Me, which by definition almost means that it's, please come and see my show.
No,
you know what I mean? Like that's, and
I know.
And I have to say, I will just, when I flick through the program for Midsummer, that is, and I've told you this off air, that was the first show that I circled. It just had something about it, something appealing. Why that title?
Look, it's very gritty. I'll tell you why. So I felt at school, actually, I didn't have any friends and no one did like me. So
primary and secondary?
Mostly secondary. So the issues, one of the issues I touch on was bullying because I was bullied at school and also outside of school a bit as well and a little bit in my family. But there's also a lot of humour in the show as well. Working with the directors I've been working with, we're pulling out the humour and finding humour. So there's light and shade because that's important. This show is not about poor me, even though it kind of looks it when you say no one likes me. My brother saw the title last night for the first time and he kind of cacked himself laughing.
He cacked himself.
So
can I? You said you were bullied at school. Was that pretty much all throughout your school life?
Yeah, since I became a homo lulu, a homosexual.
Oh, I like that word.
Or I thought I was, you know.
So were you out at school?
Well, kind of. It was kind of like you were forced out. Like I was
in
trying.
What way? What do you mean?
Well, you know, people kind of picking on you. You sound like a girl. You look like a girl. And, you know, you're
did
feminine.
Did you fight back?
I did. But, you know, fighting back with the tough boys and, you know, and then they're spitting on you and pushing you around. It's
but
not
that's,
fun.
That toughens you up, I know.
Absolutely.
So, and did your parents know about this bullying?
Well, you know, not really. Well, kind of, no, I don't think so. And so I kind of present these issues in with my storytelling, and it was kind of like, and that's why I was really excited about coming onto your show to talk about my parents and stuff, because it was kind of like swept under the carpet, or, you know, they didn't. I didn't have the relationship with my mother or father to go and say, oh, mum, dad, you know, this kid said to me today, you're a fairy queen, you know, shirt lifter, whatever they say. And I didn't really feel like I had that relationship with my father, or I could go home to him and say, dad, this person's being mean to me or mum. Mum, we had five kids. Gosh. Three of us are gay.
Wow.
And so it was kind of like not spoken about.
I really would like to get to ask you about your parents and how they reacted to you, how they've supported or not supported. We're just going to have a break and then we'll come back and I'd like to know about your family and your siblings. You're on Joy 94.9, Stand Up Straight. Be an ally. Talk it out. Educate yourself. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Hi everyone, you are with Michelle Barber and Darren Weiser, and we're having a chat about Darren as well as the show that he has as part of Midsummer, which is No One Likes Me, but I'm sure we're all going to love you by the end of the show. Is that right?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
So just before we went to that song by Maxi Priest, which I love, you touched on your parents, and I'm just wondering how they felt about you. Did they know that you were gay? What kind of dialogue did you have? What was the relationship like with them?
Well, I'll just give you a small story of how I saw my mother at moments in my childhood. I was sitting in the car on the way to school. She found out that I was playing around with some boys in a hotel when I was in Tasmania on the Queensland trampolining team when I won a gold medal for the Australian synchro. I got kicked off of the team. Because I was drunk. I was underage drinking. I was in the car. Story is, I was in the car after the weekend. I got thrown off the team. My mother said to me in the car, "I hear you're hanging around with that boy, Carl. I believe he's gay. I hope you're not gay. You better not be gay." And this was on the way to school when I was 14, 15. So that was a bit ugly.
So
she wasn't always like that, but...
But I'm taking it that once you hear that, do you then think you recoil? It's like, okay, I can't tell her.
Yeah, well, tell her. Yeah, of course. Yeah, totally. And of course, you don't. I mean, that was in the 80s, and of course, it's a bit different now. But it's still challenging. Of course, everyone's story is different. You know, to come out and go, yeah, I'm gay, I'm a faggot. You know, because that's what we were called back then.
Yeah.
Relentlessly, and so yeah, you kind of deny because, you know, in my show, or you try to be normal, you know, which back then considered, and even now, you know, heterosexual, get married, have wife, kids, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Have follow religion, whatever.
So did have your parents seen the show?
They haven't, no.
They haven't?
This show was developed at La Mama at the expiration season 2 years ago. So it was. This is a second development of the work.
Okay.
It's a fully realised work now. And my brother will be probably the first family member coming to the show next week or week after. And he's kind of in the show.
Does he know this?
No.
No. Okay.
There's a very poignant moment in there which had a massive impact on me when I was a child, which set in motion a series of events.
So have you brought a lot of your family into this? I know I'm not asking you to give it away, but so your experiences, your relationships with them, is it a bit cathartic as well, doing something like this?
Oh, look, it can be cathartic, but I don't go in there for the, you know, to have a cathartic experience, because this is about storytelling and I'm telling a story and it's not about, you know, poor me coming.
No, but it's relatable. I think if it's real and true, which I'm sensing that it is, then this is what people are going to... there's some joy, I think, in seeing something like this. Either they can relate to it or some kind of comfort in seeing it as well.
Definitely. Like, there are moments in the show where I speak about my mother or I portray my mother as a certain character, but not only my mother but my grandmother. So it's kind of like a, you know, blended form of a housewife, of a parent. Also, my father is in there. I flesh out him as a character, how I saw him. I talk about him. I also talk about my brother and my sister in moments of incidences in my life that happened, which are true. And I'm sharing and storytelling those through movement, text and dialogue.
So the information about the show, one of the things that you highlight is, in fact, your relationship with your dad. So what is that like now?
Well, my father passed away, but I have... Honestly, you know, my father, you know, did love me in his own way, but I, you know, honestly, I felt I had a horrendous relationship with my father. I couldn't talk to him. And I think that's what a gay boy needs growing up, to talk to their father and say, look, son, you know, it's all right to be whoever you are, but, you know, men then and still now, and many just don't have people. Some people just don't have that access to be open enough to accept a child for who they are.
Yeah. It is different. Not everyone, obviously, not everyone accepts the children in the same way. We know that.
Mm.
Do you think, you can't answer this with any certainty, and I realise this, what do you think if he saw it, what do you think he'd say or feel? That's part one. Part two is, what would you want him to say?
He'd probably turn in his grave, but I think that also would be a side of him that would see the funny side and the ridiculousness of actually what happened. And, you know, I hope that if he would see this show, that he would, you know, grow and learn from the experience of how he treated, or how I felt I was treated, his son, and not only his son, but their daughters and my sisters and his other two brothers.
Do you think
he'd
be embarrassed about how he treated you? We don't want to harp on it, I understand, but...
Absolutely.
Yeah. He'd be proud of you, no doubt.
I'd say now, you know, I saw a clairvoyant once, and the clairvoyant said, you know, your father comes to you when you're in the making theatre and you're tapping on your thigh. Dad wants you, your father wants you to keep making work and dance, don't stop.
I'm like, God.
Would have been nice to hear that when he was alive.
we can't live in the past, we know
that's
that.
Right.
And your mum, she's not going to come down and see it, you don't know.
Well, if this show goes well, I'm going to take it to Sydney and hopefully I might take it to Brisbane for the festivals up there, so I will invite her along. They've been invited. They came down and saw my master's work at the VCA last year. Mum did, and my sister, I think. Mm. The offerings are always there.
So tell me, obviously, we've tantalised people. There's you've touched on different types of stories that you're telling. So does that mean you've got different characters that you play as well?
Absolutely. There's about six.
Ooh.
You're cleaning them kind of like an animal.
What?
Well,
okay.
Yeah. Well, the animal's based on, you know, like a good character actor or a good character will have an animal base character. Every actor, well, my training is you put an animal behind there somewhere. Well, I try to anyway.
Mm.
And so there's an animal, there's my father's mother, there's me as a child, there's me now, there's a transsexual drag queen.
Wow.
And a little boy.
Why those particular characters then?
Because they represent the storytelling that this show represents, and they're needed to realise the messages and the show that I'm delivering.
Did you have to do a lot of research at all?
Well, this show's been, like I said, it was done 2 years ago as a development work, and it's now, I worked with writer Amy Melsom and Susie Hardgrave, and we fleshed out the story more. I've gone, and this is what I want to say. I had a script, but now I got outside eyes because I didn't want people. I wanted someone to go and have a look at it and make it the best that they could. So I kind of detached from it, so I didn't have to go, oh no, what about that and what about this, and put that in. And there's a bit of that going on, but you have to remove yourself from it so then you can tell the story as best as you can without kind of it being too personal because I wrote it.
So if you didn't do this show, if you weren't writing, how would you think that you would have dealt with these things that have happened in your life? No, if you hadn't done this show.
If I hadn't, well, you know, I've done counselling and stuff like that for issues that have affected me, and I kind of, you know, speak to friends and other parents and other gay people and other, you know, and I have a wonderful support network. And like these topics, like I don't walk around going, you know, like I'm not kind of affected by this daily.
Mm.
This is a representation of a theatre work. So in that forum, I'll present it as thick as I can. But when I'm, you know, living, you know, I'm pretty normal, happy.
Was there a particular time that you thought, well, I've got to put this work together? There was, you know, you had all these things going on in your head, different experiences and things. Was there a time when you thought, I've just got to do this, this will... Did you get to a point where it's like that, you've got to do it before you can move on?
Yeah, I had to look, because there's topics in here like HIV, there's a topic that gets exposed in
Why
here.
Why did you... include that?
Well, because I'm living with it, so I'm HIV positive, so I'm been living with that for 13 years.
Wow.
That is a topic which gets there's a massive scene in the show. There's a massive scene in the show about with my father. There's a massive scene with my mother.
All relating to your HIV status?
No. It's not all about that. It's a kind of snapshot of key moments which had an impact. and which I thought were exciting and interesting to hear.
Did your family know that you're HIV positive?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. And what kind of have they been supportive, firstly, when you first...
Absolutely, they were, but...
Why are you laughing? That's an interesting...
I'll tell you what my father said. This is very deep, but my father said to me, when I came home back from London, because I was diagnosed in London, and I came back kind of in, a mess, and he was like, when I told him, he was like, "Oh my God, I can't believe you told us. You're not a man." Like, he had this horrific reaction. Like, he said, "I should not have told the family." He said, "You shouldn't have told us that. We didn't need to know." He had a really horrific reaction. He didn't know how to handle it.
Is that why? He would just rather not know and be ignorant.
Yeah. And he was kind of putting it back on me saying, actually what he said was, I'm laughing because it's ridiculous. Yeah. It should have been in the show. I'm weak.
Because he said you're weak.
I'm weak because I shared it, and I should have kept it to myself. It was horrible. I pretty much disowned him after that.
So how do you react after that said to you? Do you was this face to face?
My mum was there, and my father, my mother was there, and my two sisters were there. It was awful. It was the most horrific experience of it. I wanted to get a knife and I wanted to stab him.
Gosh. I did. But then this was face to face. So what do you storm out? What do you do in that situation?
I wanted to punch him, but I did. I said, "I'm going," and I took off. I said, I didn't really speak to him much after that for a while. He was an angry man. Angry. He was always angry.
Did the family
They were fine. Mum cried and cried and cried.
You know. Why do you think they cried? Why do you think they got so upset?
Because it's the worst thing. A mother back then. Well, even, I don't know about now, but she was like, "Your son gay," because
because her fault, of course.
Fault. We know that. Yeah. And the AIDS epidemic in the 80s, 90s was horrific. So I was kind of diagnosed at the tail end of it, or just in the middle of it, kind of. Mm. And they were like, didn't know how to handle it. And they didn't have the resources to handle it. And they didn't know
resource.
And I had to kind of educate, And I was lucky in a way, not, lucky to have HIV, but the medication was out by then. So. Yeah.
And did you feel that you were, in a sense, you had to allay their fears and support them through something, but not quite so much the other way around.
Yeah, and that pissed me off because, I'm counselling my mother and my family, going like, my sister was okay, but it's like, dude, dad, what are you doing? Just chill out. It's like, I'm handling this, and now I'm handling what the stigma comes with it, but not only from external family, but in my family. And so you kind of counsel your parents.
Yeah, so you're dealing with yourself and your own emotions, feelings, sadness and grief and all of that stuff, but then at the same time being mindful of what they're feeling and what they're going through. So it kind of, although maybe that's what gets you through it, maybe that kind of takes your mind away from it in a sense, maybe, I don't know. You are on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9 with Michelle and Darren.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Hey, this is Matt, and I'm a producer at Stand Up Straight, and as a gay man, I've never pushed a woman's buttons. Until now. You're with Michelle on Joy 94.9.
That is right. You are with Michelle and Darren, the star of Midsummer 2014. Okay, so I'm going to... I know I keep harping on this, Darren, but the name of your show, No One Likes Me, is it really important for you to be accepted? Is that part of it, do you think?
At the time, absolutely, it was. It was important for me to accept and find my way, and also accept in myself who I was, as a gay man, as a woman dressing up in dresses, because that's a part of the show as well. Of course, I think we all want to be accepted in a certain community and be liked by people. Like, no one wants to be ostracized, or disliked.
Did you have to kind of change the way you were and sort of morph into something different depending on who you're with and where you were?
I like that word.
Morph.
Because
I do too.
I morph through characters in No One Likes Me. The director I'm working with at the moment, Tizzy Hargrave, we talk about morphing into the characters, and it's important to have that process. But in relation, and so those characters are also trying to fit in as well. So it's not when I'm in that character, they're trying to kind of fit in with their world and be accepted and accept in themselves who they are.
And in life, is that what you've had to do for different areas?
Of course. And like when I'm talking with these characters in the show, I'm telling the story, you know, I was trying to so desperately wanting to be accepted because I when I say no one likes me, it's about being normal, trying to be normal.
But what's there is no normal.
Well, you know.
You know that now, don't
of course,
you?
Well, you know, try telling that to a teenager who's trying to fit in and, you know, they're, you know, wanting to have a sex change or they're putting nose piercings in their nose or I don't know, you know.
So is there a lot of confusion?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
About?
Sexuality, you know, whether I should be a man or a woman. So I had those thoughts.
Really, that was a big struggle.
Yeah, that was a big struggle because I thought, well, you know, if you're gay, then, you know, you can't, you know, be gay and fondle boys and kiss boys because you're not supposed to be gay in my mind back then. But so, all right, well, be a woman. So women can play with boys. So if I be a woman, I'll...
Is that... So you... really, it's in that basic sense, that's what you thought?
At the time, yeah. Like, it was like, well, maybe I'll have a sex change. And I speak about that in the show as well.
Okay, so we...
Which is...
Did you
I can
quite
talk about
seriously
it.
Think down, far down that path?
Absolutely, yes. Because, you know, you get all these rants, right? You know, you feel like no one likes you, right? And you don't have any friends. So, like, okay, well, how am I going to get friends? What can I do to get friends? Or how do I find love? If I'm not allowed to be gay because my parents are telling me and the kids are telling me not to be gay, maybe I should be a woman and then I can be normal because a woman can love men, but men and men can't love men. And that's the mindset that you kind of go through, or I went through, which is my experience of trying to kind of, you know, should I be a woman?
So that must have been horrendously draining constantly. Were you feeling like that?
I was.
You were drained?
I was angry and it was exhausting because you were just, I was just pissed off the whole time.
Because you couldn't be yourself.
Absolutely.
But you probably didn't know what yourself was either.
Absolutely.
Not that I'm in your head. We've talked about the serious.
Yeah.
I know there's got to be some funny things. You don't want everyone walking out of those that there with sobbing and crying and whatever.
Well, they'll have those moments.
As well.
But there's a lot of humour. You know, I'm working, we worked with director Maury and Susie and in the writing with Amy, we were kind of just fleshing out moments of, you know, fun. The way the lines are delivered and the way I tell the story is important as well. There's a lot of movement and dance as well. Mm. So there's that component as well, which brings light and shade. And we look for those moments in the show. So it's not all doom and gloom. There's got to be light and shade. And what, sorry to cut you off, my actor teacher from Sydney, because I trained in Sydney at the Ensemble, always said to us, and I spoke to her by email, she said to us, you have to find the humour in the plays. Always find the humour. Don't play for laughs, but you've got to find humour. Otherwise, people sit there doing theatre going, oh, God, can I just, where's the effing door?
Yeah. And how do you find humour in something that's so devastating at times, HIV, relationship with your dad and all of that kind of stuff? So how do you do that?
Well, it's the way you tell it, you know.
Of
you
course.
You don't have to sit there, you know, depending on what action you play on a line or how, what colour you want to put on it or how you want to represent it, or if I'm kind of, you know, I'm imagining having sex with somebody like I do on stage. You kind of, there's that kind of thing which can be, you know, find humour in the way you're kind of presenting, you know, intercourse as well, that can be funny and also serious. And also the way I play my mother or a housewife, the way I saw my mother, you know, is it was quite, you know, it's a bit of a parody, so that's quite funny. And the little boy's quite funny as well. So there's a child, there's a very innocent boy, you know, I play, there's a boy in there. Mm. And so you see the innocence of a child, and kids are so funny, they're so honest.
They are. So can you give
as us... As you know, being a mum.
I do. Can you tell me what some examples, you don't have to tell us the exact lines that you use, but what are some funny instances that you might have had throughout this process even?
Well, there's a brief story where I was on at camp, with school camp with the five, sixes and sevens. And let me just say, I won't reveal the whole story, but there's a moment where there was this boy who was a very well-developed boy for a 12-year-old, let's just say, and we all got a good look at this young man. And how about I stop there?
Okay.
And it was exciting.
It was. Your eyes have lit up. I wonder why.
It was very exciting.
There's a few other sparkly eyes in here. So. Yeah.
And so there's the whole joy of the male body and the male genitalia and the whole excitement of that sexuality and that exploration of, oh, man, I like that body or that male and, you know, can I have that? You know, is that normal?
Do you have a favourite character?
Oh, good question.
Do you know what? Don't tell me now. Let's keep all these listeners hanging on. Yeah. Hi, everyone. You are with Michelle and Darren, who is the writer and performer of No One Likes Me, part of Midsummer 2014. Just before we went, I asked you a question what your favourite character was.
Yeah, who look, I would have to say the boy, the young boy, because the young boy gets to explore and play, and it's wonderful playing the young boy again at, it was done at the courthouse at last time I did it, and now it's at La Mama, the La Mama venue itself, even though they have the courthouse, and playing in that space as that young boy character is wonderful.
And you could be really crazy and
your imagination,
let loose.
Your imagination just runs wild. The feelings come, the joy. And that's where the humour comes as well, from the book, a young boy telling his story about all these exciting events that happened.
We've in relation to that, we've actually had Jeffrey asked a question of you. Hello, can I ask you, Darren, how the show's changed from the first time? It was really great when he saw it way back when.
Yeah, 2 years ago. Well, it's changed because it's developed with the mother characters being fleshed out. The father character's really been fleshed out, so I've developed those, the text. The young boy's been fleshed out, which has been wonderful. There's some different movement in there. There's an animal character as well. And the whole thread of it and the timeline has become thicker, so it's longer as well. It's under an hour. Yeah. Last time it was 35 minutes. Mm.
So now it's a really full-bodied.
It's a full-body, emotional, lots of colours and layering.
So there's something for everyone, really, isn't there?
Yep.
Someone will relate to something, if not everything.
Yep.
We've also had Robbie has texted us in, and he said he has parents that guilt-tripped him through a rough time and found that he was appeasing them. After the trauma and the shitty, excuse language, patterning, what's the one piece of advice you can give? That's a great question.
I know.
And I'm sure that's probably one of the most common things.
Yeah, look, Robbie, thanks for texting in. And this can also kind of answer Jeffrey's question about how it's changed. You know, it's probably, you may or may not like what I'm probably going to say, but, you know, I've always, people say to me, well, parents can only have the tools that they have to bring up a child. And I really hate saying this, but it's true. They only have the skills which they've passed on to them to handle a child and to, you know, nurture it. But what I would say to Robbie is instead of appeasing them, you have to look within yourself and say to yourself, what can I do to myself that makes me happy or nurtures me and gives you food and does things for you that makes you feel like a good person and that you're normal and that you're okay? And that might be hanging out with a particular person who makes you feel joy and good within yourself. And if you are hanging around people who in the slightest make you feel bad,
bring you down.
Remove yourself from those environments and find people and surround yourself with people that actually give you confidence.
That you've probably echoed one of my most frequent mindsets and the types of things that I say in my head and that I try and pass. That is absolutely beautiful. And Robbie, I hope that helps you. That's beautiful.
You're
and
welcome.
Love and compassion as well. They're only doing the best that they can, and it isn't meant to sound flip.
But I hate saying that. It's like, well, don't have a child.
Yeah,
sometimes it's like, and that's all. Can I just say, I do mention kind of my perception of actually parents who have kids that maybe actually shouldn't have kids. And I know that's like probably, you know, not a nice, people are going to say, well, you know, that's not a nice thing to say, but, you know, it's a viewpoint.
But that is also, it's okay, but it's okay to be frank and honest as well. And I think, with what you have gone through in your life, that you are entitled to have some frank and honest opinions.
Absolutely.
You know, life is not all roses and, what do they say, rose-coloured glasses and all that stuff, but it is a really, really nice thing to see as a mum that somebody that's had trauma and a horrible in-your-face situation with your father, that you can actually come through, not maybe not through the other side, but you are in a state of mind where you're very up and positive and very solid in yourself. Would that be a right description?
Yeah, thank you. The relationship I have with my mother is a great relationship now. Like, I don't, you know, resent her or hate her in any way for, you know, how I felt at times she wasn't there for me or accepting me being gay or the three other kids in my family that were gay. Because, you know, you're an adult now, so you have to kind of get on with it, or learn how to get on with it.
We're asking them to accept something that they haven't got used to yet either. We're asking them to accept and tolerate and be, you're bringing something into their life that they hadn't anticipated.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we are asking a lot of them. So let's make someone happy. Shall we?
We shall.
We can announce a winner.
Let's announce a winner.
Do you want to do it? Go on.
Oh, hell yes, I can. So where am I reading? The winner, Daryl.
Yay
for Daryl. He says, loving the interview and the show each week. I'm sure lots will connect with you and the topics. Thank you, Daryl.
That's nice, Daryl. Thank you. We will have lovely Matt on the reception, make contact with you after the show. So speaking of shows, who are we going to get to go and see it? Everyone.
So everyone. They can book tickets through Midsummer, which links to La Mama website, or I've posted on your Facebook page as well, remember, Stand Up Straight. So thank you for having me.
You're most welcome. So we've got the Midsummer website, so it's midsummer.org.au. It's on at La Mama.
Yeah.
On the dates of 23rd of January to the 2nd of February, which is Pride March. And so it's on at La Mama. It goes for a little under an hour. Is that what?
Yeah, 55 minutes.
Saying? Yeah. Yep. And tickets are really, really cheap. $25 for a full, $15 for concessions. So there's no reason that you can't go and grab a group of you. I think there's discount for a group as well.
Yeah, for a group of 10, you know. And this this also, just to let the viewers know, because I've been working with a team with a lighting designer and director collaborators, writing it myself and performing it, and stage manager. So there's a whole team who kind of earn a living from putting theatre on. You know, this is people's lives that, you know, that make work.
And it's theatre that matters as well. And I do like, that's why, as I said at the top of the show, I think it's really important to support local acts, local artists, and it's about sharing the love as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
How many does it seat?
I think it's 40.
Okay,
40.
So it's
quite intimate. Yeah.
Really cool.
And I've just got like a wonderful lighting designer, Bronwyn Pringle. She has come on my team. She has won some Green Moon Awards, which I'm very excited to have her coming in.
You are excited.
I'm so excited.
I can tell. Well, I can tell you that I'm really, really excited that I've and very grateful that you've allowed me to throw out some yucky probing questions and said you've responded with a smile on your face. I really want to thank you. Guys out there, please, please go and see Darren's show, No One Likes Me, which, as I said, is on at La Mama. Please go and support this young man and enjoy and cry and smile and laugh, would you say, Darren?
Come there with an open mind, you know, enjoy the story that's been offered and tell your mates.
Yes, yes. So thank you very much for coming in tonight. I would like to thank my support. I've got Matt Bookends, by the way. I've got Matt on the panel and I've got Matt on the front desk. So I want to thank them for tonight. There is a show coming up after mine called Spirit Lounge, which is with lovely Joy and Andrew. And I would also just like to give a tiny little plug for a phenomenal show that's also on as part of Midsummer called Status. And we have just been notified that there is a 7 p.m. show. The 4 p.m. show is sold out. It's on at the Richmond Uniting Church, 314 Church Street. You can go to midsummer.org.au and you'll be able to get tickets there as well, $19. And that is an absolute bargain. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And I'm going to leave you with your challenge for the week, which I hope you all will do. It is, what will you do this week to stimulate dialogue, create change, or encourage involvement? You have been listening to Michelle Barber. My guest was Darren Visor. And you are on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
take a look at our Stand Up Straight page on the Joy website. Head to joy.org.au, click on the program grid and select Stand Up Straight for our blog and podcast. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.